don't always check.
Marcos, you know how Dream uses an action swipe instead of swords?
Yeah, it does more damage.
Call the meeting to order. If you'll join me in the Pledge of Allegiance. Salute. Pledge. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Okay. Just let me let everybody know that we have a full board. All board members are present at this time, and we will start with our superintendent's update report.
Oh, sure, because I just put that on. Okay, I am going to go through a few things for the superintendent's report that will also kind of move into the rest of the meeting. So first of all, I would like to congratulate Wheatland Elementary and Wheatland Charter Academy for being selected by the Educational Results Partnership, ERP. They sent us an email that read as follows: on behalf of Educational Results Partnership, ERP, we are writing to congratulate your school after an extensive analysis of student data for every school, every public school in California. Wheatland Elementary and Wheatland Charter Academy were clear leaders in getting students to grade level and beyond, and have been named to the 2019-20 honor roll. Congratulations.
Great job.
So it's nice to have those recognitions. So I want to talk a little bit about COVID numbers and vaccines. So currently we had because they're all back, three cases of COVID for staff that happened during winter break, two positives and one presumptive positive. None of them were at work at any time during their infectious period. Two certificated staff, one classified, all three have returned to work. We've had six students, all during winter break. None were on campus. Three were middle school, two elementary. So when I say middle school, sixth through eighth, when I say elementary, third through fifth, and when I say primary, it's preschool through second, we had one. All six have returned to school. Just to clarify, it's a four families with the six students. We had one family that had a sixth grader and a fourth grader, and one family that had a seventh grader and a fourth grader. So again, we've had very few positive cases. Now, we have had some people out for the sniffles and whatnot, and have been tested, but they've come back negative. So that's our COVID numbers currently. COVID vaccines. So most of you probably read the email that I sent out about education being put back a little bit based on some new rules coming from the state. So I, along with other district and county superintendents, are continuing to work every avenue we possibly can in both Yuba Sutter and the state level to move educators back up on the list. As many of you know, educators are in Tier 1B. Tier 1A is frontline nurses and doctors and whatnot. Tier 1B is the next level, which was supposed to start this week. We were going to start vaccinating our staff here at the district in the next week or two. We had put plans in place, set up a system to make it happen. And then the governor and his advisors decided last week to move 65 plus age people to Tier 1B from Tier 1C, which was fine. I mean, everybody understood that. It makes a lot of sense to move them up the tier because 80% of the deaths and 80% of the hospitalizations are 65 plus people. However, this week they determined that the 65 plus people will now move above everybody else in tier 1B. So they've kind of created a tier 1AB something. So what that means is that instead of doing all of the people in 1B, which was food workers and there's a number of them, but educators and the 65-year-olds, they're now going to do all the 65 pluses before anybody else in 1B. What that works out for numbers wise is there are approximately 25,000 residents in Yuba Center that are 65 years or older. Given the rate of vaccines coming into the county, which she's saying we're getting about 1,000 a week. And if you just say 70% of these folks decide they're going to get the vaccine, that's 18,000 people. And if they wait and do all 18,000 before they bring in the educators and others in section in tier 1B, we're talking 18 weeks before they start on the rest of 1B, assuming the vaccinations don't increase in numbers. That would put us in late spring for educators in Yuba Center to start getting vaccinated. If you reverse it and said, okay, let's do the educators first, there's about 3,000 in Yuba and Sutter. And if you said 70% of them were gonna get it, you're about 2,400. We could get them all done in 2 weeks and then move on to 65-year-olds, 65 pluses. If you ran them side by side and you said half of them would go to 65 pluses and half to educators, then you're looking at about 4 weeks, 4.5 to 5 weeks to get all education done and then continuing with 65. Putting the 65 plus people first is understandable because of health reasons, but there's also the thought that many of them can stay in their homes and they're not on the front lines like education folks. So anyways, with that being said, we're continuing to march down that. It's an uphill battle. It's frustrating at best because we just found out that not every county is following this rule. Butte County in the last 3 weeks has supposedly vaccinated 1,000 of their educators in Tier B. And the way I understand it is the government told Dr. Liu that if you already had vaccination clinics set up, then you could continue those, and then but you couldn't schedule more with educators. But Dr. Liu took it as, well, we don't have any set up, even though there was some schedule for this weekend, next weekend, the following weekend.
So quick question. This is for the county that different places are set up. But if you go to your primary care doctor, because Kaiser, they've sent out a thing, we have vaccines ready, can people go to their private doctors and see where they're at? I mean, is that different or is it?
It is not different in a sense that the rules are still supposed to be followed. Now you may have a doctor who says, I see all 1B people as 1B. Mm-hmm. So if you're an educator, I'm gonna go ahead and vaccinate you. And if you're a 65 plus, I'm gonna vaccinate you. But based on, again, what the state is telling them, that Kaiser would only do 65 plus people at this point. Mm-hmm. That's kind of where it's going. Mm-hmm. The one thing I know in dealing with COVID now for 1 year is that it will change. How it changes, we don't know. When it changes, we don't know. The expectation is we should get more vaccines coming in to the county at some point, but when is that some point? I don't know.
So information is really mixed because I think you're saying that Kaiser's telling you that they're ready.
I get a letter from my doctor probably every 2 days that says, come get your COVID vaccine, just like with you haven't got your flu shot yet. Come get your flu shot. Vaccines are ready. We need you to set up an appointment to come get your COVID vaccine. And then I got a letter, you know, strains are changing. You really need to get in here and get your vaccine. So they're, I mean, they're constantly sending that out. So whether then they prioritize it where you are in your appointment, mm-hmm. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, my dad's with Kaiser and he's 91 and they're telling him that they're not even ready to do it. So that's what I'm saying. One side of it, and then we're getting the other side. He's 91, so.
But your dad could now. Your dad could go now. He could sign up to go to the one at the Yuba Center Fairgrounds.
And they have opened up for
free, right? That is free.
For the older ones, because my dad is 81, uh-huh. and the doctor just called him and my mom and said that they're ready for them to go in because my dad's had a stroke. My mom has COPD and all her things. Yeah. So I would call and check.
Really good health at 91. So, and they said, we'll call you when it's ready. That's pretty much what they said. We'll call you when it's ready.
Well, he could actually go on the Yuba Center Health website and sign up and probably get one within a week.
Okay. I'll do that.
So, the other thing they announced, which doesn't help the situation, that, you know, they had put some Moderna, a lot number of Moderna vaccines aside because they had 10 allergic reactions out of 1,500 shots at a clinic in San Bernardino, I believe it was. And so they took the whole lot number, which was 330,000 vaccines, and they put them aside. It was announced last night that they're going to put those back in, that it wasn't the Moderna vaccine that caused all 10 of the ones that happened at the same site. It was something that happened at the site. So Yuba Center does have some of those lots. They did not use any of them yet. They were saving those for the second shot. So they haven't announced yet that they're putting them back in, but I was on a webinar yesterday that they said they're this close to putting them back in. So that'll help, I'm sure. All right, so I'm going to move on to something un-COVID related. So as you are all aware, you're not aware because you weren't on the board at the time, but you're aware because you work for the county. We are taking back our students from the county. And remember, it was a long process, and we're coming up for this school year to bring back our students that are currently in the special education classes that are run by the county, the SDC classes. So next year we will be running our own SDC classes on Wheatlandell and Bear River. And we will also likely serve Plumas Lakes students because they don't have enough by themselves. We don't really have enough by ourselves. When we put them together, we have enough. So I'm just here to happily report that three of the county teachers have decided to come to work for us next year. So Nadia from Bear River, Samantha from Wheatlandell, and Jordan in the preschool are all coming to work for us next year. So that solves our issue with staffing, and we're going to continue to work on the paras for the room. We have to, because it's a take back, they call it, we do have to offer positions to the classified people that are currently in the it's a little more difficult with classified because of the way the county does their benefits versus the way we do ours. Ours are $13,000. Doesn't matter whether you're a single person, a married plus one, or a family. The way the county does theirs is you get like $7,000 if you're a single, you get $11,000 or something like that if you're married plus married and just you and your wife, and a family gets like $16,600 because they're on a tiered rate. So some of those classified folks that are taking the top, the $16,000 because they have a family, we can't match that. And with teacher salaries, there's usually a big enough discrepancy that it makes a difference. It doesn't, they look at it and go, well, I'm making $10,000 more here. So if I'm making $3,000 less in benefits, it still makes sense. Classified's not the same. So we'll have to try and work through some of those situations if we can. But all in all, it's a great thing for our students and for our schools and for our district. And I want to publicly thank Ange and Aaron for continuing to work through this process with me and with the county. And then that brings me over to Virginia School. If you remember, I brought to you at the last meeting, I think, the lease back work to lease Virginia School and then lease it back to them. It's all to get through the legal thing of handling a separate school issue. Well, it's all been done, and so we will now be able to have our students not be called a separate school, which is a flag for the state. And it doesn't just help us, it helps Plymouth Lake, it helps anybody who sends their kids to Virginia, Marysville, all of them. And the other thing it's gonna do is it's gonna open up the doors a little bit for more mainstreaming between the Virginia school students and into our schools and vice versa. So I think it's a positive direction for both our students and for the Virginia school students when we can do some of that mainstreaming. Last thing I have is, believe it or not, it's time to start talking about summer camp and whether or not we would be able to have it. So Tara and I have started some planning and discussions around what summer camp would look like this year. We think it'll look very different in that we're hoping that we'll be able to have a on-site camp, but it's going to be most likely more geared towards a summer school instead of a camp. What we're looking to do is use some of the after school money and some of the, if we get more COVID money, to set up a summer school for learning loss type students that have struggled for this last year. And instead of really just the enrichment and having a summer camp, it'll be more of a summer school. We're in the very preliminary planning process to see how this will all work out, but it really needs to be more of an academic catch-up versus an enrichment. And if we do that, we're likely going to have one, instead of having one site, which we've done at Lone Tree for the last few years, we're going to have one at Lone Tree and we're going to have one in town. So we're going to, and then use some of the money that we would be using for transportation. We won't have to transport now if they come to those two sites. So we can use that to backfill. And what we'd really like to do, again, preliminary, is bring in some of our teachers to teach, you know, academic catch up in at least for half the day of the time that they're there. So again, we're in the very beginning stages of what that's going to look like and how many kids we can accommodate and so on and so forth. So I'm going to move on to attendance report. At this time of the agenda, we have 1,275 students. We have 835 in our hybrid TK through fifth grade, 373 in the middle school distance learning, and 67 currently in the HVIS. This was a week ago. Overall, we're one student more than we had last month, and we're 94 students less than we had last year. We are currently have 94 students in preschool, which is four more than we had last month when I reported it, and 34 less than we had last year. I would expect that we will see the numbers creep back up to our normal number once, if and when the pandemic is over and kids can be in school and so on and so forth, fully, not just hybrid, fully. So that's all I have.
Okay, okay. We will move on to communication from the public. Anybody have any communication? I see that there's one comment.
Yeah, Robin has a question.
She said, we were in 1B, and the new chart shown today doesn't show us in 1B. Did something change, or was it an error? We're still in 1B, Robin. They've taken 1B and split it to the 65 pluses are in 1BA. I guess it would, you know, they have a higher number, and then we, the educators and all the rest that were in 1B, all. So I'm not quite sure what chart that you're talking about.
It was a Facebook chart, Craig, on Gary Bradford's page, and it showed the 65 and above in the 1B, and then it had like an asterisk, and we were completely removed from it. We weren't on the whole chart at all anymore.
Okay, well, there must be a mistake.
Okay.
Robin, because every chart that I've seen in all my conversations is, if they stick with this, and again, I think it's a big if, but if they stick with 65 pluses first, then they move to what was originally the 1B, which is educators and so on, before they get to the general population, which was 1C.
Okay.
Okay. So I Gary puts a lot of stuff on there, and I'm not sure, I don't think I've seen that one, but I will double check, but no.
It was shared from the county's page, from Utah County's page.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks.
Not sure why that would happen. All right. The next two questions are having to do with agenda items that we haven't gotten to yet.
Yeah, so our communication is on items not on the agenda. So both of those questions are on our agenda, on our topic, which will be 5.2, which we will address those questions when we get to that agenda topic. Any other comments or communication for items not on the agenda?
Hi everybody, it's Annette Goodley, school liaison here at Beale. I just wanted to say Happy New Year to everybody. And I wanted to thank Ms. Jacklett and her teachers for allowing our U.S. Space Force to do a nice little spiel for the kids. And I appreciate the teachers for helping getting that together and coordinated. So thank you, Ms. Jacklett, for that. That was awesome. So they were celebrating, Space Force was celebrating their first year anniversary. So yay, Space Force. And just trying to do some STEM outreach with the students. So that was pretty cool. I hope they liked it. Also, I wanted to thank Ms. Guzman just for allowing us and just kind of opening up and helping us out with some of our students that are having a little difficulty. We appreciate all that you guys do. I know it's not easy, trust me, definitely not easy. But we're working with the youth center as well and with some of those families. So thank you just for being patient and helping us all through that and helping us learn more too as well. So we appreciate that. And the big question that everyone keeps asking me is on the agenda. So I won't say anything. So I'll let Craig do that. So thank you all and Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you too, Annette. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Any other questions or comments not related to agenda items? Okay, we will move on to our first item, which is to approve our consent agenda. If anybody has any comments, questions, otherwise, I will entertain a motion.
So moved.
So I have a first from Ish Medina. Do I have a second?
Second.
Second from Regine Waltz. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. We will move on from our consent agenda. Our first item is to approve our SARC report, SARC reports for Bear River, Lone Tree, Wheatland Charter Academy, and Wheatland Elementary.
So the SARC reports are done every year. We do hire a company that puts most of the information in there. The principals add stuff. Melissa does a lot of work with the SARC reports. They are required yearly. Then they get posted on the website. And it's basically kind of a report card of how each of the sites are doing. It includes test scores and a lot of other information. You've seen them probably for the last 15 years. And I'm happy to answer any specific questions that you may have.
Comments or questions on any of those reports? If not, I'll entertain a motion to approve 5.1.
I'll make a motion to approve 5.1.
Motion's made by Rhonda Eaton. Do I have a second?
Second.
Second by Robin Bogdanoff. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. We're going to go on to 5.2, which is the discussion and action item of return to hybrid for our 6th through 8th grade students.
So I talked about the COVID numbers. I can repeat them if anybody needs to hear them again. But
we're in a situation where it's time to start thinking about bringing all of our students back. We have our TK through fifth grade back. I am happy to report that we have a small number of COVID cases throughout our district. And again, I'll reiterate, not one, zero, nothing, nada has come from our schools. With that being said, it's my recommendation that we bring back the sixth through eighth grade on a hybrid AM/PM model, the one that they were on before, beginning the week of February 1st. That gives 1 week, a week and a half, a couple days for parents to get adjusted to bringing the students back to school. And I'm happy to answer any questions. I'm not going to go into all of the stuff that I've gone through for the last 15 meetings, but that's kind of where my recommendation is. I will tell you that there are high schools that are going to be reopening in February as well. Plumas Lake is now fully open, TK through eighth grade, and Yuba City is TK through fifth. Marysville is looking to reopen at least TK through fifth in, I think they said February 10th-ish. I don't have the exact date. So that's where we're at.
I'd just like to comment that I am so thankful that we've had zero cases. I would like to commend our custodial staff and our support staff and everybody who is doing their darndest to fog and clean and our transportation. I mean, everybody in the district. I was just cover everybody in the district. But a special shout out to our nurse who is tracing things, is making sure if kids aren't well or teachers aren't well, they're going home. So again, kudos to you, which I've said multiple times. But to have a district where nothing has been picked up, I think is huge. And so I just want to thank you for your hard work. And thank everybody in the district there's so many, from principals all the way down. Thank you for all your work with the PPE and all the stuff that has to be done. Thank you for doing that. So anyway, we have questions, or if you guys have questions first or comments.
I have a question. So will Mondays still be a different day?
Yes. I mean, and we would go back to the schedule that the TK through five is on now. And we would go back to a sixth through eighth grade where Mondays are the intervention days. They meet with their homeroom. Tuesday through Friday, they come to school for three of their periods, which is social science, science, and
math.
Thank you. And then language arts, PE, and their elective will still be done distance learning. There's no way to do all six of them. And so in order for us to be able to bring students back, we still have to adhere to the cohort rules, right? And the cohort rules, the main one is attempting to be as close to 6 feet apart as possible. They have actually come out with some new language. I was just looking it up on distance. And it basically, I'll read to you what it says. Maximize space between seating and desks, distance teachers distance teacher and other staff desks at least 6 feet from the students and other staff. Distance student chairs at least 6 feet away from one another, except where 6 feet of, this is the change, except where 6 feet of distance is not possible after a good faith effort has been made. Upon request by the local health department and state safe schools team, the superintendent should be prepared to demonstrate that good faith effort, including an effort to consider all indoor and outdoor space options and other hybrid learning models. Under no circumstances should the distance between students' chairs be less than 4 feet. If 6 feet of distance is not possible, it is recommended to optimize ventilation and consider using other separation techniques such as partitions between students and desks, and arranging desks in a way that minimizes face-to-face contact. Short-term exposure of less than 6 feet between students and staff is permitted. A teacher assisting a student one-on-one, but the duration should be minimized and masks must be worn.
Okay, so just to remind you guys, that question was asked by board member Ronnie Eaton. So if you guys have questions, please identify yourself so our public knows who's speaking.
Okay, so I'm not hearing anything. Can you roll that up so I can see what the chats are at the beginning? Mm-hmm. So. Well, before I move on to the, what's written, does anybody that is up here want to speak instead of writing it? And then I'll move on to the written comments. So I'm seeing nobody. So, okay. So will 6 through, this is from Chris. Will 6th through 8th grade be returning to school soon? Okay, so my recommendation, the board has not voted on that. My recommendation would be effectively they'd be back on campus February 2nd, I believe is the Tuesday. Monica, anything? Okay, that was just before. She wanted to know whether we were going to have the discussion. Have you considered options of having live Zoom in classrooms for parents that do not want their kids back in school? We have the HBIS program that has been offered to parents throughout the year that don't want them. Having teachers do in-class and Zoom at the same time is puts too much on the teacher, I believe. And so, no, we did not consider having live Zoom at the same time teachers were teaching. Has any consideration been given to the change in teachers' vaccines not coming through in a recommendation or decision to have students return to campus? Should we consider how that plays into Dr. Liu strongly recommending to remain on distance learning? Dr. Liu has not rewritten her recommendation, but she has talked to us about the recommendation, and she does. They are seeing an improvement in number of cases. So to answer the question, somebody did ask her to rewrite and change her recommendation. She's not willing to do that at this particular point, but she says we are going in the right direction. As for the vaccines, yes, we would like to have the vaccines, but we didn't think we would have them anyways prior to coming back with 6 through 8. We actually had good news when we originally thought we were going to get them at the end of January, middle of February. And then, of course, now we have the bad news that it may prolong it, but that's where we are with the vaccine piece. Why is Dr. Liu's recommendation not being considered? Dr. Liu's recommendation is being considered. We consider all of her recommendations, and again, I think I've said this a lot of times, Dr. Liu sets her recommendations based on one fact, and that is whether or not the hospitals are full. That's how she does her recommendations. I talked about this at the last meeting when we were talking about, or two meetings ago, Angela, our nurse, brought it up. There has not been a decrease in the number of COVID cases in the Yuba and Sutter County since all schools have shut down, right? The issue of schools, again, I will reiterate, I believe, and others believe, that it is a safe place, it is a safer place for students than many other places that they are when they're on distance learning. Not all students stay in their home during the day when they're on distance learning. We know that based on vandalism in our schools and so on and so forth. So what we have set up in our schools, it has proven that our kids are safe and our staff is safe. We have, again, I'm going to reiterate it as many times as I have to, 0 cases coming from school. And we've had maybe 1 or 2 kids that we've had to quarantine because they were close to somebody who tested positive or is a close contact. So we've had very little of that because we're adhering to the guidelines of 6 feet. I know in the middle school, there are a couple of classrooms when you get up to that 18 number of students in a classroom, you could have some classes that are, I mean, some desks that might be 5.5 feet apart instead of 6 feet apart. That could cause, if I'm 5.5 feet apart from Melissa Wyatt, and she comes down with COVID, it could cause me to be quarantined because I'm not 6 feet away. Nikki is 6 feet away, she would not have to go in quarantine. It could cause that. But my thing is, my feeling is that if we have to quarantine one or two children, it's better than quarantine 30 and keeping them all home all the time.
On our COVID numbers, it seems like when you present them, it seems like it's usually a family group and not like a student that comes in. And is that, am I correct?
Yeah, you're correct. All of our cases that we've been made aware of, mm-hmm. Have all happened in family gatherings, social gatherings outside of school. Again, even the students that Angela had to put on quarantine because they were within 6 feet of a student that had tested positive did not catch COVID.
And a lot of it seems like the parents or the adult in the home has it, and then the kids may get it. But I haven't seen where we just have a random kid that has it. It seems like it's come down then.
It's typically comes from their parent or an uncle or somebody.
And it's in a family group. Right. Okay.
And right now, we are kind of at the end of that window of seeing an influx from the holidays. And what we're seeing statewide, as well as countywide, it's a little slower in our county, but we're seeing a decrease in the number of cases. It's not significant. There's still a ton of cases out there, but it is going in the right direction.
Craig, would you kindly tell the school? Is asking a question?
I sure would. So the vaccine question and was from Lonnie Rohde. Monica asked about Dr. Liu's recommendation. Now I'm on to Robin Richardson's asking, would this change our contact tracing? It doesn't change our contact tracing, but it may change depending on how close the student is. It may change who has to be quarantined. Again, I implore you to get rid of the stuff in the classrooms that aren't necessary and move kids 6 feet apart. I know Angela's told me 100 times that when you put the 18th kid in the middle school classrooms, it can tend to keep them about 5.5 feet away from each other. At no point can we have students 4 feet from each other. That's what the guidelines say. None. 0 point can they be. That's why we can't even consider something other than a hybrid, right? There are some districts that went back fully. I told you guys this before. My brother teaches at Wood Creek. He had 38 kids in his class every day. And now they're going to have to back off because this guidance of no less than 4 feet came out. So, I don't know what else you're asking about the contact tracing. You haven't changed what you do, right?
No. You already answered it, Craig. Okay. You already answered it. This was typed before you started.
Oh, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
So Heather, I think I've answered yours as well. Oh yeah, you said it. Thank you, Heather. anything else? Is that it?
That's it.
That's all that's written up there. So you guys know how I feel about kids being in school, and I know all of you feel the same way, including our teachers and our staff and whatnot. I do understand the concern, but I also believe that we can be overreactive to something, and we really need to think about the child as a whole, not just COVID. But everything else that comes into education, including the mental health of our children, not being in the classroom and being with their teachers and being with their friends and so on and so forth. So that's my recommendation. I'm not going to beat a dead horse. I will let it throw it back to the board.
Okay, so 5.2 is to return to hybrid for our 6th through 8th grade students. Do we have any questions or comments from the board on this or from our nurse? Anything to add or?
Just from the people that have told me they're ready for the kids to go back.
So Ishmael says, parents are saying they're ready to go and have their kids go back to class.
This is Ron, and I'm leaving after talking to my own grandkids and different parents that, I mean, we've got more than half of our teachers already teaching in the preschool through fifth grade. And I think it might be good for the other kids to just go back.
Okay, well, if there's no more questions or comments or anything from the public, I'm going to entertain a motion to approve putting our sixth through eighth grade kids back in school on a hybrid model.
So moved.
Robin Bogdanoff, I have a first. Do I have a second?
Can I ask to clarify the recommendation on the date, please?
And that date is going to be on February 2nd, you said?
Well, the week of February 1st, but the first day they would be back is February 2nd, because it's Tuesday.
Okay, Tuesday, February 2nd. And so, Robin, I have a first, a second.
Second.
Ish Medina with a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, our students will be back in school on a hybrid model on February 2nd. Okay, next item, any board comments? Crickets. Okay.
The kids will be excited.
I guess they will. And they will, with this beautiful weather, they will be off the streets and doing something positive. So that's great. Okay, so with that, we will close and we will go to closed session. Thank you everybody for joining us. And
thank you.
If you didn't have someone, you would have done in a half hour.
It's the